listening there to the sound of thousands of troops marching to Tiananmen Square in Beijing on Thursday, a show of strength during a parade marking 70 years since the end of World War II. But amidst all of that fanfare, President Xi Jinping of China also announced a major reduction to the Chinese military force. The People's Liberation Army will see a reduction of 300,000 personnel, but it's a move not necessarily aimed at reducing the military's capability. Jonathan Kamen is Asia correspondent for the LA Times. He says the parade doesn't show China's weakness. It shows the Chinese military's modernization and ballistic missile advances.
This seems to be a modernization. It also seems to be a brilliant PR move. So China wants to present this parade, despite the clear implication that China's flexing its military muscle. It wants to present it as sort of China's coming out to the world as a peaceful power or a country that's set on maintaining peace. It's an important sort of message for them to get across, given their increased assertiveness in gaining territory in the East and South China Seas. And so when Xi got up and said this, the optics are very clear. He wanted to present China as the kind of country that would both reduce its military force and also maintain a very strong one.
Lots of mixed messages, as you've implied, because as Xi said that China is a guardian of peace and is reducing the size of its army substantially, we've seen reports for the last year of ships and dredgers building islands in the middle of the ocean to serve as air bases for the Chinese Navy and Chinese Air Force. A much different message of a different posture when it comes to naval power.
Absolutely. And it's also important to keep in mind how anachronistic China's military is in so many respects. China has just this massive military ground force, which, you know, it looks big in the numbers, millions of troops, but it doesn't really have much to do with China's current naval ambitions or military ambitions at large. And I think what China's trying to do now is shift its military system to one that takes these territorial ambitions into account.
And let's talk about those ambitions and the posture here, because it seems like China has no need for a massive, overwhelming force to repel a land invasion. If its adversary is going to be the United States in the future, they want a muscular air force and a muscular navy, because that threat, whether it's to territory or trade, is coming from across the Pacific.
Absolutely. And we saw that with the hardware they put on display in the parade. According to state media, 84% of the sort of 500 military vehicles that they put on display or pieces of hardware have never been seen before by the public. So there are a lot of military analysts who have been watching this very, very closely. One thing that they've noticed is China put two ballistic missiles on display that could potentially, one, destroy aircraft carriers, which I think changes the calculus for the U.S. when dealing with China's territorial ambitions in the South China Sea, but could also feasibly reach U.S. troops stationed on Guam. So I'm sure there are a lot of people over at the Pentagon right now thinking very hard about what all this means and how to respond.
Well, none of this is a joke, of course, but it is kind of funny to think that beyond all the ridiculous pageantry and muscle flexing of a military parade, there are lots of important coded messages. You just said it. China is announcing to the United States and the world what its capabilities are.
Absolutely. And it's funny. I mean, we think of this as anachronistic, but in China, the military is so opaque and the top leadership is so opaque that in a lot of cases, the only way we know what's, or we have any indication of what's going on behind the scenes, is what they decide to parade down Chang'an Avenue in the middle of Beijing on a beautiful day in September, or who's standing next to whom in the official pictures on the front page of the People's Daily.
Jonathan Kamen, Asia correspondent for the LA Times. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Since WNYC's first broadcast in 1924, we've been dedicated to creating the kind of content we know the world needs. Since then, New York Public Radio's rigorous journalism has gone on to win a Peabody Award and a DuPont Columbia Award, among others. In addition to this award-winning reporting, your sponsorship also supports inspiring storytelling and extraordinary music that is free and accessible to all. To get in touch and find out more, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.